If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Portions of this podcast have been edited due to copyright.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Now it's time for the Mercedes in the Morning Pre-Show, Mix 94.1.
Good morning and welcome to the pre-show. It is finally Friday. It is August 21st, 5:32. Thank you for being here. We made it to the weekend. Did you get rain this morning?
No. Did you?
The weirdest thing happened this morning. So I'm up in Summerlin, and we sleep with a sound machine on. We listen to brown noise when we sleep. It helps me sleep so well, and I just love it. So I don't really hear anything other than this constant kind of noise.
Yeah.
And so at some point this morning, and it was literally right before my alarm was supposed to go off, I hear this like tick, 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 like weird, like noise. And I like kind of open my eye for a second. I'm like, what is that? And I try to listen, but the sound machine is on. So I turn off the sound machine and it's pouring rain. And I'm like, what is going on? And Matt goes, can you hear that rain? I'm like, is it really raining or am I dreaming this? And he goes, it's really raining. And so I was just like still not convinced that I heard that. So I pull out of the garage this morning and there's just puddles everywhere. It was just some like flash random rainstorm that came in. It was so weird.
That is so crazy because in my part of town, Silverado Ranch, it's dry as a bone.
Yeah, I don't
know.
Unless
it gets there later, because I know the storms from Arizona, they're pushing it to here.
It could have just been like a random like storm system that was more, you know, north and west than you are, and it moved and it's on its way.
Weird,
you know, but did anyone else hear that? Honestly, I thought I was dreaming it, but I got confirmation this morning when there was just, you know, leftover water on the streets everywhere. It was so bizarre.
There was another night last week you were talking about how your daughter was like it texting you saying, is it raining? And it was pouring. Same thing in our neighborhood. Not a drop on our side of town.
That's so bizarre.
It has to be where like Vegas is. I feel like Vegas, wherever party you go, like every 5 miles or so, it's like a different climate.
Yeah, it really is. It's a completely different situation, though. So, yeah, that was kind of my weird situation this morning. How you doing this morning?
I am so dead right now. Last night I got last minute tickets to Backstreet Boys, which I could not say no to. We had a raffle here at the radio station, and I was like, you know, the extra tickets, you know, put your name in the raffle type thing. And so I submitted it, and I asked James, I'm like, hey, you know, what if we win tonight? If we go, do you want to go tonight? He's like, tired, but sure. We end up winning. And I'm like, wait, oh my God, I really didn't have any type of plans that we would go. So James comes home, we rush to the Backstreet Boys, and it was so cool because compared to when we watched it the first time last year, it was the same but different. They added like a lot of more vibration on the chairs.
Oh, wow.
It was, they add more like jokes in the middle, and I just loved it. Overall, it's like, how do you say no to tickets like that?
Yeah, the idea show at the Sphere, I think, is a win-win situation there. But yeah, that I saw that and I had the same thought. I'm like, I'm not going to a Thursday night concert. I'll be too tired tomorrow morning. And I saw you won. I was like, well, good for her. She's gonna have fun.
It was so much fun. But what's funny is the people in front of us, directly in front of us, was fighting with the couple in front of them. So I was watching it all go down, and it was because the people two rows in front of us were standing up and dancing, and they were kind of the only ones in our sections that started it off. And then the people in back of them were like, sit down, we're trying to see. And I kind of wanted to defend the people that were standing up. I'm like, let them stand up and dance. If you really want to watch them, you stand up too. It's like you're going to a concert to pay money. Why not?
I saw a whole debate on that a couple of days ago where, you know, people, same situation, people were upset and they went and they called like security and the staff, and they're like, look, they paid for that seat, and they can do anything they, you know, want within reason in that seat. And that includes standing up. Like, there's nothing we can do. And, you know, I get to the point sometimes in concerts where I'm like, I want to sit down for a little bit. And I just, you know, I expect it. I think there's certain artists where it's like more acceptable to stand than others. Like, if you're going to Josh Groban, you're probably not going to be like standing and dancing, right?
Yeah.
But Backstreet Boys, I kind of expect that to a certain point. So I'm kind of on their side too.
You know what? And this, the way the Sphere is set up, obviously you're not going to see the guys the whole time in person. It's more like looking at a screen most of the time. And I think that's why the lady was getting upset, is because the only way to see the guys live is if you are looking down. So I get it, but whatever. It's like, hey, everybody's paying there for their own experience.
Yeah.
You got to figure it out.
Well, I'm glad you had fun last night. That is a really good show. If you haven't seen it yet, you still have some chances left. They announced some New Year's shows for the Backstreet Boys, and it's a fun one. A lot happening. So if you are one of those people that gets like sensory overload, you may want to stay seated during that whole. Were you really high up? Because sometimes the high up seats, you get like that, like vertigo, like, oh my gosh, you know.
I think you get vertigo, especially during the screens part, like the fast movement of screens. But I was in the 300 section, so it wasn't.
I think the twos and the threes are the perfect sections to sit in. Those are. I feel like you get the best views of everything, the people performing and the screens.
Yeah,
you know?
Agreed. So.
Mix 94.1. This is Mercedes in the Morning.
Did your parents' divorce come with a secret little loophole that you weren't afraid to use? Because if you grew up bouncing between two households, I'm sure, and I come from a family that did not divorce, but I saw it with my friends. Like, there's a system, right? If you're smart, you learn to work it early. Parent number one says no, doesn't matter what it is, like a phone, a car, friends, whatever. The answer is no, so it's final. So what do? You wait for the weekend with parent number two, and you bring it up all casual, and you mention that your other parent won't get it for you. And if your parents genuinely can't stand each other, you hit the jackpot, because it's not about you anymore. It's about them. And spite can be a very powerful motivator, I've noticed. I watched this play out. It's so funny. I know your parents were divorced. Did you ever utilize this little tactic?
I did, yes. Did I work? Not really.
It didn't work.
No. So, like, my parents, they ended on good terms.
Oh.
And they had healthy communication. But I did try it once. I remember it was my dad's weekend. And my dad, I asked him, hey, you know, I just started driving. Is it cool that I drive over to Lissa's house and spend the night at Lissa's house? And Lissa's been my best friend since middle school. So he was like, oh, yep, love Lissa's parents. No need to even talk to them. You're good. But he didn't know that I was actually staying at a boy's house.
Oh, boy.
And so I didn't go to Lissa's house. I go to the boy's house in the morning. I come back home, walking right in, and there's my mom. I was like, what is my mom doing here? This is my dad's weekend. And my mom's like, so you went to stay at Lissa's house last night, huh? I was like, yeah, what's the problem? She said, I drove past Lissa's house and your car wasn't there.
Uh-oh.
So busted. Immediately I was busted. I got in trouble. And honestly, as much as I wish I could have worked the system, I tried and I failed.
Yeah, like in that situation, like there, it sounds like you were just lied. You didn't you didn't ask for one and the other said no. So you went to the other and said yes. You just lied.
And because I knew my dad would be like so nonchalant, and with my mom, it was hard to get things past her. So
That's funny. I remember one of my daughters, Sophie, she had a teammate on her volleyball team, and her parents were divorced. And it was in a way that they'd both show up to every single game. They just wouldn't sit by each other. They didn't really talk. I was cool with both of them. I didn't, you know, I would end up sitting with the mom more often than not. And she was super sweet. And I remember one season we got to talking about the girls just, you know, getting older and driving and all of that stuff. And she told me flat out that there was no way she was going to buy her daughter a car.
Oh,
and she's like, she's not ready to drive. It wasn't because they couldn't afford it. It's just I think she had like a C in one of her classes, if I remember correctly. And the mom's rule was like simple grades before driving. And so she's like, there's no way we're getting her a car. It's not going to happen. Not going to happen. So a week later, my daughter just casually mentions that her friend just got a brand new Tesla.
What?
I was like, what? And she's like, yeah. And I go, this girl? And she's like, yeah. And I said, I just talked to her mom like a week ago. And she said, there's no way she's ever going to get a car. And she's like, I think her dad got it for her. And I was like, oh.
And not like a used car from like 2007. Oh my God.
And dad had no idea there was even a grades problem. He just knew that she wanted a car. And she was like, Dad, can I get a car? And her mom, I talked to her the next time, was livid. She was like, oh my, how could you undermine me like that?
And that's such a big purchase. And that's something that you would think, I mean, I can't assume, but you would think of a parent of divorced parents, you would talk to your co-parent about this.
You would think so. Kayla just texted, my parents hated each other so much that I had once got a PlayStation, a phone upgrade, and a trip to Disneyland the same month. All I had to do was mention dad's house wasn't letting me have it. Wow, that's working the system. This one says, I told my dad my mom wouldn't let me get my ears pierced. Truth was, I never even asked her. I was already 9 and running a con.
Whoa, 9 years old? Oh, she's scheming at 9. Oh,
this one says, I told my mom, my dad said I could get a tattoo at 17. He never said that. She called them. He caved anyway because he didn't want to look like the bad guy.
Oh, that's a great dad.
Oh, man. Kinda. You guys and your little sly little tricks. I love it. It's mixed.
It's Sophia with an F, Franklin with the Y. And if you're looking for some bubblegum dum-dum podcast, then you are in the wrong place, baby. Whether I'm reminiscing on the trials and tribulations of working in the corporate world to recapping today's latest reality TV show, you're going to want to pull up a chair and stick around. It's a good time and always 100% unfiltered. Follow and listen to Sophia with an F wherever you get your podcasts.
4.1. Hot, hot, hot. It's time for the Hot 3 on Mix 94.1.
Neutrogena, they just apologized to Hayden Panettiere days after her death for dropping her as their spokesperson back in 2015. She was the face of the brand until she went public about her postpartum depression following her daughter's birth in 2014. And in her memoir, she said the company axed her for breaking a morality clause, which is a wild thing to even have as a clause when someone's struggling and being honest about it. Now women online are furious. Boycotting threats are happening. And Neutrogena, they posted that they understand that they made her feel unsupported and that, quote, this is not what Neutrogena stands for or who we want to be. They're pledging money towards postpartum depression support, too, which is a nice gesture. But it's landing at a very strange time, in my opinion.
Yes.
It's funny how the apology only shows up once the person can't hear it anymore. It makes you wonder how many other women went through something similar and just, never got the spotlight to force a company's hand, you know?
I'm wondering also, I know that the fans are, are the ones that are doing the backlash. Like, hey, why is this happening? Like, why aren't we doing this when they're around? Not in just Neutrogena, but like us as people standing up for them.
I think it was one of those things that kind of just flew under the radar. Like it was said and no one really picked up on it at the time. And then when she passed away, people were going back through these interviews, reading her memoirs. And they were like, what? Like you didn't hear it at the time. And now you look back and you're like, that's crazy. How could they do that? And so, it's too bad that she wasn't able to hear this apology because she definitely deserved it. Also this morning, Mariah Carey, she is bringing back Glitter for its 25th anniversary. Do you remember that movie?
Of course. just, oh my God, the iconic, her hair in a side ponytail, a high side ponytail. That was one of my favorite ones.
I'll be honest. I never saw glitter. I never saw it.
Mercedes.
I know the jokes behind it. I know that it was supposedly really bad.
It was so bad.
I never got around to seeing it. So there's a special edition that's dropping on October 30th, which is perfect because doesn't she thaw the next day for Christmas,
yes,
October 31st?
What did she say? I'm back.
It's time.
There you go.
The album came out in 2001, got torn apart by critics, flopped commercially, and Mariah has openly said that she used to hate it because of everything tied up in its release, which... it makes sense given how brutal that whole era was for her publicly. It mysteriously vanished from streaming earlier this year, and now it's returning. And she already dropped a new version of Didn't Mean to Turn You On, featuring a Rochelle Jordan to kick things off, announcing it with, you know, just pure excitement for this new glitter era. She says the album became something she genuinely loves now, and that there's something kind of beautiful about an artist getting to rewrite her own relationship with something that once hurt her. Yeah, now it's a positive thing. Back then, it used to be really negative.
Yeah, I honestly, I'm thinking about how many times I watched that movie over and over as a kid.
Really?
But I don't remember the premise at all. I just loved, like, the music behind it.
The music, it's Mariah, right?
Yeah.
It can't be that bad.
No, it was the acting.
Maybe. Oh, it's the acting. Gotcha, yeah. Gotcha. Finally, this morning, a construction worker in Belgium was jackhammering through a former brewery during a renovation when he struck gold, literally finding thousands of gold coins and about 40 gold bars worth more than $10 million.
What?
Yeah, like he's just doing his thing, and then he finds this. They were all lined up neatly, just sitting there under the floor, like someone had tucked it away and fully intended to come back for it, which they obviously didn't. The guy who found it, he's only 18 years old.
No kidding.
He's a part-time student. He doesn't get to keep a single coin, at least not yet, because authorities are now trying to figure out who it belonged to, whether something criminal is tangled up in how it got buried there. Some of the gold has dates tracing back to the 1960s.
Whoa.
So we're not talking ancient treasure, but we are talking someone hid this on purpose and never came back, which to me, that's the mystery worth chasing down. Like, what happened with this? The kid even admitted he thought about keeping quiet, saying if it had been a few thousand euros, he might have considered it, but $10 million, you can't keep that hidden. 18 years old and already smarter about hiding money than most adults, you know?
Or like the person that originally dug it up, couldn't find it. He's like, wait,
where did I put it?
I don't know where I put this gold.
Woo! Mix 94.1, home of Mercedes in the morning.
Have you ever gone on a date and then just gotten up in the middle of it and left? Just like, I'm done here. Not, oh, fake a phone call and I gotta go, or not, you know, make an excuse like I'm not feeling good. Just full on stood up, grabbed your bag and walked away, because according to this new survey, you are far from alone. Nearly half of adults, 49%, say they have left a date early because the person's behavior was that bad. And before you assume like it's rude comments or someone being cheap, we're talking about behavior bad enough that staying was not even worth it anymore. So that to me is like, what could happen so bad on a date where you're like, bye, I'm just leaving right now. Has anyone been on one of those dates? 702-364-9400. And here's the funny thing. It's not just like 20-somethings who are the quickest to walk. It's parents with young kids, nearly two-thirds of them. 65% of them have ditched a date over bad behavior. I mean, that kind of makes sense. If you have a babysitter on the clock and you paid for parking. You're just not going to sit through something, just not to be rude, no. if you're completely done with it. But what, have you ever been in a situation like that? I haven't gone on a ton of dates. I'll be honest. I've had like 3 serious boyfriends. I didn't do a lot of dating. And so that's never happened to me before.
Yeah, same. But I have had friends I've had to rescue from bad dates. I remember specifically my best friend went on a date and it was at a bar. They went for like burgers and beer or whatever. She showed up to the bar. He was already there, drunk. I guess this place was like a regular of his. He went there all the time. He already was like 3 shots in. You could just tell immediately, like, she was like, what? I thought we were gonna come together. She's texting me throughout. She goes, dude, this guy's already 5 shots in. I had 1 beer and the vibes were off. So I picked her up. She goes, yeah, I just made some excuse that she had to go because her brother was sick or whatever. So I picked her up.
Yeah, I wouldn't have even made the excuse. He probably wouldn't have even noticed if I just walked and left him if he was that drunk. Like that makes me so sad that you couldn't even give it a shot, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he gave it a few shots, it sounds like. Yeah. Let's talk to Summer. Summer, have you ever just got up and like left a date before?
So I personally have not. I haven't been on a date in like over 20 years. But one of my good friends, she went through a dating phase, dating a lot, and she had a standard that she would give it at least 30 minutes. And this one guy that she went on a date with, she said that he could not stop talking about himself. Like, he never even asked questions about her. And she got the major ick and just told him that she had to use the bathroom and literally left him there.
Just left. I love it. I mean, the exit is, it's not, nothing dramatic. It's like, go into the bathroom and then that's the last you ever see of them. Do you just block their number at that point? I mean, and move on. Thanks for calling, Summer. Let's talk to Anonymous. Anonymous, have you ever just left a date?
Yes, I did.
What happened?
Against my better judgment, I allowed him to pick me up. He was a nice guy, retired Marine. And when we were there, the waitress could sense that something was wrong, but I said, you know, he said, I was so excited about our date and I prayed about it. And I said, oh, that's nice, you know, thinking to myself. And he said, when I went to church, and I said, oh, it's a Friday. And he said, I went today. And I said, you go on Fridays? He said, I go every day. And I, okay, I'm very religious, that's fine. And then we ordered a cocktail. And then he said, I was really nervous. I talked to my daughter about you, and she Googled you and said, you're too good for me.
Oh, my gosh.
Right. Mm. So I gave the googly eyes to the cocktail waitress. I got up. I went to the bathroom. I called an Uber. I texted him. I blocked him. And I went home.
That, wow. I honestly don't blame you. That the last part really like kind of creeped me out too. I just got like goosebumps on that. And it's like, that's what you should always meet on the first date. So you have your own way home.
That's
you're
true.
Not stuck with someone else. Thank you, Anonymous. Let's talk to Tammy. Tammy, have you ever just left a date?
I sure have. I was on a date with a gentleman. And I was a young single mother, and I never brought my kid around anybody I was dating. And he asked to see a picture of my son. So I showed him, and my son's ears and head hadn't quite grown to match each other. And he looked at the picture, and he said, my kid looked like a car coming down the street with its doors open.
What?
Yes. I was like, oh, my God. So I got up and I walked out of the restaurant.
Did he ever like attempt to apologize or anything?
I never gave him a chance.
Oh, I do not blame you. You are done. I'm so mad for you, Tammy. I'm so sorry that happened, but you definitely dodged a bullet on that one. Thank you for calling. Jason, good morning.
Good morning.
Did you walk out on a date?
You know, I'm way too old for that, Mercedes, but I have I have Gen Z employees, and I'm kind of like the Gen X work dad for all of them.
So. You're the voice of reason, right?
Yeah, so they come to me and tell me these stories. So I know she's listening because she was trying to win these Jonas Brothers tickets. So I'm gonna refer to her as Denise.
Okay.
She went on a date off an app called Hinge, which I'm learning of all these things too. Never heard of that before. with this guy. The profile photo apparently totally AI. The guy was about 50 pounds heavier and did not look as chiseled as the profile photo. She orders a margarita and didn't want the real tequila. He's criticizing her for ordering one with good tequila. She's like, I'm not really feeling this. Goes and sneaks out, leaves out the back door. But then he messages her and wants her to Venmo him for the margarita money. And she did. And I'm like, no. Well, I was going to say a real name. Denise. Do not send him that money, but she did.
Oh, Denise, wow. You didn't owe him anything. Like, who is this guy? He AI catfished you, first of all, and then he's complaining. Could you imagine a relationship with this person?
No, I couldn't. And then the whole thing with me is like, why would you AI your photo and then you see them in person and you're like 50 pounds heavier?
Jason, what made Denise like stick with it, even though he obviously catfished her on the photo?
I just think she is a really nice, sweet girl and did not want to make him feel bad.
Aww.
But I'm glad that she left because it was just the criticizing her for ordering the non-rail tequila on a first date. I'm like, imagine what the second and third date would be like. You did the right thing.
Absolutely. What kind of tequila did she want instead?
It was not even like the top shelf. It was like Cuervo Gold or something.
Go for the Tito's. I mean, come on.
My gosh, these dating horror stories. I just like makes me feel so lucky that we're married.
I think we all need a friend like Jason, though, to like set us straight and give us advice, you know?
He's a Gen X dad.
I love Jason.
He's our Gen X dad.
Jason,
now.
Will you be the official Gen X dad of the show, please?
Oh, absolutely. I do love Gen Z. They're kind of my favorite people.
They are my favorite people too. I adore Gen Z. They don't get the credit that they deserve. They're so much, they're so funny and they're so smart and everyone just bags on them. I'm with you on that, Jason. Like, they're the best.
Yeah, you know, that's the first time we've heard about the studies about how they're lazy and stuff. But
nah.
You guys,
I don't think they are. I think they're getting a bad rap. I think some jealous Gen Xers or jealous millennials are making that up about them.
Maybe.
Are you ready? It's time for Mercedes in the Morning's Mega Minute.
Casey, your caller 20. Good morning.
Woo-hoo! Casey.
Are you there, Casey?
Yeah, are you there? Yeah, can you hear us?
Oh, yes. Are we on speakerphone?
Bluetooth, yeah.
Okay, that's okay. Just make sure you turn that radio down so we don't feed back and so you can hear us, okay?
Okay, I think... Okay.
I don't want it to be on a delay because that is to your disadvantage, I'm saying. But if you can take us off Bluetooth, it might be the best idea for you because we really want you to win.
Does it sound better now?
Yes, 100%. Okay. Sounds better. Okay, yeah, no delay too. Got it. All right, you're in for the Mega Minute. Let's do this. We've got a 4-pack of tickets for you to go to Universal Studios Hollywood for Halloween Horror Nights. All you have to do is answer 10 questions correctly in 60 seconds. Are you by yourself, Casey, or do you have people with you?
I have my son, Caden, with me.
Awesome. Caden, if you, Casey, know the answer, scream it out, yell it out. If I hear the correct answer, we're going to move on to the next question, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
Casey and Caden, if you're struggling with the question, you can say pass. Or if you get one wrong, and if we have time at the end, we'll go back to those questions. And the Mega Minute, it starts now.
What instrument is used to measure temperature?
Thermometer.
Yes.
Thermometer.
What is the capital of South Korea?
Pass.
What animal is known for its black and white stripes?
Zebra.
Yes. What scientist developed the theory of relativity?
Pass.
What country was formerly known as Persia?
Pass.
What invention is Johannes Gutenberg famous for improving?
No idea.
How many bones are in the typical adult human body?
206.
Yes. What planet in our solar system is closest in size to the Earth?
Mars.
No. What animal was famously associated with the MGM Grand?
Lion.
Yes. Hoover Dam sits on which river?
Colorado River.
Yes. What is the capital of South Korea?
Seoul.
Oh, I think you meant Seoul. You probably looked at the spelling, yeah. And I'll give you that. Yeah, yeah. It is Seoul. But it wasn't enough to conquer the Mega Minute. I'm so sorry, guys. I have to say, in their defense, this was like watching the Champions edition of Jeopardy.
No kidding. Some of these
were really hard.
Difficult.
I did not know a couple of them. Which country was formerly known as Persia? That is Iran. This one, I was like, what invention is Johannes Gutenberg famous for improving? Who's Johannes Gutenberg?
Really?
I know Steve Gutenberg from the Police Academy movies, but Johannes Gutenberg is famous for improving the printing press, apparently. Which planet in our solar system is closest in size to Earth? That is Venus. And
question four.
Which scientist developed the theory of relativity? That was Albert Einstein. I am sorry, guys. Those were really hard. I wouldn't have gotten it, that's for sure. You guys did better than I would have done.
It's time for the Hot 3 on Mix 94.1.
All right. Well, Paseo Verde is playing their opening Little League World Series game as we speak. It's a nail-biter right now. They are down 5-4 in the bottom of the fifth. This game was actually supposed to happen yesterday afternoon, but rain pushed it back three separate times before officials finally moved it to this morning. It started at 6 a.m. our time, which meant anyone watching here, you were up early. These kids earned this spot the hard way, too, going undefeated through the Mountain Region Tournament in San Bernardino to punch their ticket to Williamsport. This is actually Paseo Verde's second trip to the Little League World Series. They made it in 2024, finished 2-2, so they know what it feels like to be there. The series wraps up with the championship game on August 30th. So if today goes their way, there's a lot more baseball left to watch.
Oh, I'm so excited. I really hope they get this win.
I know.
I always think about, like, because I didn't do sports. I only did dance. But when my husband did, like, football and basketball, he said he loved to play in the rain. It, like, gave him a certain attitude or something.
Really?
Yes. I'm like, why would you want to play in the rain, like outdoor basketball, when it's windy and rainy? He goes, it gives me that like challenge.
Oh my gosh. Not me. Get me where I'm dry. I want nothing to do with any of that. And I'm sure on a game this important, they probably want the conditions to be perfect, right?
Yeah.
You know, that's it's very dramatic, though, when you do see like games and everyone's soaking wet and it's like, oh my gosh, who's going to do this? But on something like that, I don't want to be slipping and sliding in the mud everywhere, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Also this morning, sorry, I'm trying to find some music for this one, but I can't find what I was looking for. Well, Taylor Swift, she is back in the news this morning. Taylor Swift fans think that she is cooking up something major, and the internet has turned into this full-blown investigation. They are trying to figure out why there is a bright green TS logo showing up on a wall. Then the Empire State Building's official account posted a photo of the building lit up green with the caption, "What's happening?" But the T and the S are capitalized. So that something's going on. A lot of people are saying that this has got to be, it's got to be something to do with reputation, Taylor's version, or the self-titled Taylor Swift, Taylor's version. So who knows what's going on with her, but if that was reputation, I would be so excited about that.
My favorite Taylor Swift album is a Reputation album.
The debut is great. It's so like classic young Taylor, but this one, it's green and it looks like snakes. So I feel like that's what we're leaning towards. There's also the fact that her debut album turns 20 this October, which kind of adds fuel to the fire. I don't know. Nothing's confirmed, but if you know Swifties, you know they're going to read into all this stuff, and I like hearing all the theories.
The TS font also looks like a snake. You're right. It looks like those, like a slithering snake,
yeah,
coming
and
out of the
green.
Green, though? I didn't expect green.
Well, like, if you watch some of her videos, it has, like, that green hue to it. It's like that darkness. It just, I don't know. And I associate green with snakes, too. So who knows? We'll see. Kelsey. Finally, this morning, the Raiders, they were down 17 points at halftime against the Texans last night and somehow walked away with a win anyway, 22-20, scoring 20 unanswered points to pull it off. And they did it without their starters even on the field. Third string quarterback Aiden O'Connell, he capped it off with a go-ahead touchdown run with just 14 seconds left in the game, which... that, like talking about sports endings and stuff, that's the kind that makes preseason football actually worth watching. It wasn't clean early on either side. Rookie quarterback Fernando Mendoza, he threw a pick six on the very first possession.
I saw that.
I felt so bad for him.
No.
But he settled in and helped move the offense before handing things off to O'Connell, who finished 15 for 24 with 166 yards. Not a bad night that started, you know, with the backups getting run over, but how can you not love Fernando Mendoza?
The guy, God bless.
He's so likable. He's just such a good person. And I just can't get enough. Yeah, he did this interview at the end of the game, and listen to like how sweet the guy is.
Okay, well, you nailed it. We'll go tell Kirk that you did a great job.
Thank you. Please do. Please do. And please tell Mr. Buck I say hello.
Oh, we love it. There you go. What about Mr. Aikman?
Oh, of course. I mean, he's a legend, you know? I think Mr. Buck needs some more love because, I mean, Mr. Aikman's already, you know?
Well said, Fernando. You nailed it.
Thank you. God bless.
Back to you guys.
See, there it is. Back to Mr. Buck. That's the stuff.
That's Joe Buck, if you don't know. And I just like, tell Mr. Buck I said hello. Like, what a sweet guy he is.
Did you notice in his last week's press conference, he called Miss Tom Brady Mr. Brady?
Oh, yeah. He's so, his manners are so, like, so good. And he's so kind. And I do feel like he has a touch of, like, I don't know. As someone who is ADD, I feel like he has a touch of that, like where he just kind of drifts off for a second. And it's so relatable to me. That's why I think I like him so much.
He reels it back in. You can see his eyes. Like, yes.
Hey there, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a new show. It's called Money Moves. And your money is going to move. We're going to help you make better financial decisions. We're going to call out the BS you're finding all over social media. We're going to give you actionable guidance to make your financial life clearer, less stressful. We're going to answer your financial questions and take the mystery out of your financial life. Follow and listen to Money Moves with Jill Schlesinger wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah. Mix 94.1, home of Mercedes in the morning.
You know that kid. You know that kid. Every school, every neighborhood, every soccer team, the kid who talks back to the ref, the one that rolls their eyes at the teacher, or just the kid that wants to make another kid's day miserable just because they can. There's this new survey out ranking every state in the country on what they're calling a rudeness score. And it combines behavioral disorders, kids who bully others, how often kids with special healthcare needs say they get bullied. Maine took the top spot for the rudest kids in the country. Colorado at 11, Utah at 15. So this isn't some like far off problem happening only in other states, because Nevada, we landed at 36 out of 50. So right in that like kind of murky middle. Like, you can't decide if you should be excited we're not number one,
yeah,
or if you should still be upset because we're not at the bottom of the list. Only 6.7% of our kids have a diagnosed behavioral or conduct disorder, which is actually one of the better numbers in the country. But 14.4% were reported to bully others.
Ooh.
That seems high to me. And 54% of kids with special health care needs here say they have experienced bullying. So Nevada is not raising a bunch of angels here, but we're also not out here setting the curve for the chaos, which is, yeah, which is a good thing. If you're a parent and you're wrangling a strong-willed kid, or maybe you're a teacher who has heard every excuse in the book, or a coach who had to separate 2 9-year-olds mid-game, does 36th in the country sound about right to you? Too generous? Too harsh? Are Nevada kids ruder than this number gives them credit for? Or Is the internet just being dramatic again? What do you think? 702-364-9400.
Well, I find this list interesting because it says that California is second highest. Basically, these kids aren't really rude at all. But
no, that would mean they're the rudest, right?
They're the best.
They're on the other side.
Okay, gotcha. I know it's the opposite, right? When they're last, but really it's like they're better behaved. But it's like, wait. When I growing up in California, like there was a ton of bullying around me. I was lucky to not be bullied, but I don't know. I'm wondering exactly where they're being tested and how they're getting tested on, because obviously I don't have kids here, but just my experience growing up in California, it was much different.
Well, like you said, it's those criteria. So they do look at actual numbers to back up this survey, but to me, my take is middle school is where, to me, it is the worst. That's the whole story right there, in my opinion. And I, you know, I'm just going based on experience. Personally, as a kid, middle school was my worst time, the meanest, the hardest. And then I saw my daughters watch them going through those middle school years too, with some of the hardest parenting that I've ever had to do, because that's when the bullying got real, you know, and it wasn't just like school stuff. It was outside school stuff. It was, you know, and it wasn't like the kind of, you know, fights you would get into elementary school because they didn't want to share the swing. You know, this was the mean kind of cruelty that is calculated, you know, where they aim to do the most damage. And I don't know what it is. Do you parents agree? 702-364-9400. Something happens around 11 or 12 where kids figure out that tearing someone else down makes them feel so powerful.
Puberty.
Oh my gosh. And you know, it sucks when your kid is on the receiving end. You can't fix it. You just, you know, you try to show up, and sometimes you try to fix it.
Like, I saw it with the middle school kids I taught. It was like they are trying to find their identity, and they think that being mean is cool and being mean is being popular, and it's not. That's the total opposite. It is that weird age right there.
It's brutal to watch, and it's even harder to sit with, because all you want to do is protect them, but there's only so much you can actually do. And I don't know, the one thing that gave me hope though was watching it get better as I got older, and high school kind of brought more self-awareness.
Good.
and less, a lot less cruelty. Hey Joe, good morning, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing well, how are you guys?
Good, thanks for listening. We're talking about this new survey that ranked every state on a rudeness score, basically how much kids are dealing with behavioral issues, bullying, and Nevada landed 36 out of 50. What do you think, now that you know where Nevada is, do you think we've got rude kids running this state, or does that number feel off to you? What's your take?
I hope not, because my three girls are now tardy to class because we were so excited we got through on the phone call.
Oh, no. We're going to make them late. I'm so sorry. No, but what's your take on this?
No, we were all talking about it, and we thought, we think it's pretty accurate. And I don't know. At our school, though, we're at an awesome school called Cornerstone Academy, and our principal is so great. She kind of sniffs out the bullying, Miss McKenzie and Mr. Stafford. So they're like, they kind of sniff out the bullying, especially among junior hires.
Do your kids notice like a big difference though with just the attitudes and kind of like the meanness and the rudeness changing from say elementary to middle school?
They're nodding their heads, 100%.
Yeah, it definitely changes, and the hope is that it gets better in high school. But as a dad, like, what do you do in that situation? Do you get involved? Do you encourage them to handle it on their own? What do you do?
Oh, man. We just try to tell them to, I don't know. That's a good question. What do I do, Peyton? Sure. We just try to tell them to keep cool and, you know, talk to parents. Really talk about it. We haven't gone down the cell phone route yet. So not having cell phones, I think, is very helpful. Or at least monitoring your kid's cell phone is a huge one.
That is a big one, because a lot of the bullying will happen there for sure. That's
junior high dean is very busy, so she handles a lot of those things. So I would say it's kind of school leadership, keeping an eye on it is great, and then limiting that cell phone access.
Hey girls, give me a hey if Joe is the best dad ever.
seems like such a great dad.
You do seem like a great dad, Joe. Thank you guys so much for calling. I'm sorry you're late. If you need a note, let me know. I'll send one. Let's talk to Katie. Hey, Katie, good morning. What do you think? Are Nevada kids rude?
Good morning. You know, I don't believe they are. I think we have a great batch of kids in this valley, and I'm proud of them. My oldest is 8. He, is doing really well in school. He's, had some issues at times with, kids saying, basically like the cheese touch. We're talking insults from Diary of a Wimpy Kid here. But the thing is that I feel like the generation that is teaching our children actually understand the dynamics of human socialization. So if there is an issue, you can run in, you talk about it, and, you work through it. Barbaric as it was back in, my day.
Right. Yeah. I do agree with that. I think I have met more great kids than I have met not great kids. And I think you hit the nail on the head with that. It's all about the communication. But like I said, that middle school time can be kind of rough. Amy, do you agree?
I think for sure middle school is the worst.
What did you experience?
So, I'm a mom of 3, and all of my kids are out of school except for my junior in high school. But I actually had to pull her out of school. It got so bad when she was in the middle school.
You pulled her out? Did you just teach her at home?
I did.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And how was that for her? Did it make things better, or did she miss being around her friends?
Well, I had her friends come over, and she went over to their house, so that part wasn't an issue, but it was hard. I talked to the principal, I talked to the school district police, I talked to the counselor, teachers, and I ended up having to pull her out of middle school. It got that bad.
Yeah, sometimes you feel like you're just given the runaround and that you talk to people and it's nothing gets done.
Yeah.
And you're still seeing the same behavior. Amy, thank you. Anonymous, I love that you're calling because you're kind of giving the other side's perspective on the bullying side. Can you tell us what happened with you?
Yes. So my daughter just turned 11 and just started sixth grade, and she was the sweetest, kindest little girl until recently. And so I got a text from her. It's crazy thing is it's her best friend's mom. And she sent me screenshots of my daughter saying not so nice stuff to her very best friend and said that she's not comfortable with them hanging out anymore. I started crying. Like, I can't believe that my daughter would do this. And I confronted her and she started crying. And so what I made her do, I took away her phone. I made her write an apology letter and I made her write, "I will not be a bully," 50 times.
Do you think that sent the message? Do you think that she will learn her lesson from that? Or do you think it's going to be kind of an ongoing process here?
Well, I'm really hoping that she learned her lesson. She says that she has. And just in general, she's just a sweet girl. So I was shocked that this happened. So I asked her, "Why did you do this?" And she just kept saying, "I don't know. I don't know." And so I just don't know if it's because she wanted to, like you said, like they think it's a cool thing, or maybe she showed it to her friends. They go to different schools now, so maybe she was trying to impress new friends. I'm not sure.
I hear the hurt in your voice. I totally understand that. When you think like, hey, I've done everything I can as a parent to raise a good child, and they're little and they're cute. And then, like I said, I feel like in that middle school time, that's when something shifts. They just, I don't know. Some of them go one way, some of them go the other.
The brain is also being altered during that time too. So I don't know, maybe.
What do you think, Anonymous?
Well, I was bullied starting in the sixth grade, and I told her I refused to raise a bully. I did not raise her that way. She has a 17-year-old brother who never went through that. He's,
is such a good kid. And, you know, they definitely are different children, that's for sure. But I think that she will definitely learn her lesson because she'll just have everything taken away forever.
Yeah, you're like, I'm not afraid of hiding all the stuff. I hear you on that. Hey, Kelly, let's wrap this up. What do you think? Good morning.
Hi. As a teacher, I'm thinking that the social emotional skills are not taught.
Yeah.
Our counselors are pushed. We don't have them on all the schools. And if we do, they're busy with a million things. We don't teach these kids how to deal with those strong emotions, those big feelings, even when they're little. And then they go into middle school. I don't know how to deal with my emotions. Now I got hormones. Now I got my body changing. I'm trying to figure out who I am. It's a crash.
Yeah. And maybe that's what it is just trying to regain control of yourself. And you think, oh, if I can maybe control other people, if I can start telling people what they should and shouldn't do or being a little mean and exerting control over them, maybe that's what they do. And then I also just, I keep seeing like on the text line, a lot of people are saying, I had boys. I didn't deal with this.
Huh.
And I wonder if it's like, A girl thing? Because we've been hearing about a lot of girls dealing with this, but not a lot of boys.
What would you do if you found out your daughter was a bully?
Oh, man. I would feel just like Anonymous felt. I would, and like everything taken away.
Yeah.
Door off the hinges. Sleep in the living room on the floor on an air mattress. You're done.
It's time for Heads Up with Mercedes in the Morning on Mix 94.1.
Hey, Cassie, you're caller 20. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm so excited and nervous.
Oh, don't be nervous. You got this. You are as good as on your way to see Guns N' Roses tomorrow night. Let's get this. Six answers in 60 seconds. We've got your final category for the week, which is Americano. Do you like coffee?
Ironically, not really.
Okay.
Oh.
Well, I do. So I think we're still going to do this. August is National Coffee Day. So these are all things associated with coffee. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. We'll get this. 6 and 60 is all we need. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
You guys got this. Your 60 seconds for Heads Up starts now.
When you drink hot chocolate, you might put this white stuff on top of it.
Cool Whip.
No, what's another?
Whip cream.
Yes. I want a shot of this in my drink. A shot of
espresso.
Yes. I need it sweeter. Could I get some of this to put in there?
Sugar.
Yes. This is the person who makes the coffee. They're the what?
Barista.
Yes. It's like a chocolate coffee. It's called a what?
A mocha.
Yes. Some people use the little pods and put them in this machine to make their coffee.
A Keurig?
Yes! Wow! For a not coffee fan, Cassie, you annihilated that category. Nice job. Congratulations.
Hot. It's time for the Hot 3 on Mix 94.1.
If you missed it, here's a little bonus story for you. Earlier this morning, the Paseo Verde Little League team at the Little League World Series came back and ended up winning in their first game in the Little League World Series, 6-5. They, like I said, they were down by like 4 for a minute. And so it was so great to see them back. So some good news this morning. And then now they move on. So we got to keep up. We should check in with the coach and see how they're feeling. They're probably busy celebrating right now. Here's to the real Hot 3. A new smart asset study just broke down how much money you actually need to live comfortably in every state, okay?
Okay.
Nevada's numbers are interesting. So a single adult, you're single, you need just over $100,500 a year.
What?
To live comfortably.
What do you mean? Like I'm in my mid-30s and I'm in a one-bedroom apartment comfortably?
Well, I don't know. What is? See, to me, comfortably is different to a lot of people.
True.
You know, but a family of four, you need $238,500. You need to make that much a year to live comfortably.
Gosh.
That's a big jump from what most people around here are actually bringing home, since the median household income in Nevada sits around $92,000 a year. They use this MIT living wage calculator and the 50-30-20 rule to get there, meaning half of your income goes to necessities, 30% to things that you want, and 20% to savings. For comparison, though, The most expensive state in the country for a family of four to live comfortably is Massachusetts. $329,000 a year. And then the cheapest is Mississippi at $188,000 a year. So we're landing right in the middle of that somewhere.
Massachusetts, I feel like, always ranks high on these lists, but also for good reasons too. Education, raising children, stuff like that. And then to hear that's how much money it takes to get there.
Maybe you get what you pay for, you know. Also this morning, any Dancing with the Stars fans out there? If so, I've got some really cool news as far as the upcoming season goes. Julia Stiles, she is joining the cast of Dancing with the Stars, according to Page Six. She's been open about wanting to do the show for years, but always said it would be tough logistically because she lives on the East Coast. And most people might know her from Save the Last Dance, which came out 25 years ago. Also, 10 Things I Hate About You, Bourne movies with Matt Damon. But the full cast is dropping September 2nd. But we already know some of the people. We have reality star Sierra Miller and Maura Higgins. Savannah Bananas player Jackson Olsen. He's going to be on Dancing with the Stars. And then Guillermo from Jimmy Kimmel Live. He's also on the roster. Season 35 premieres September 15th on ABC. I'm excited to see her. She has that dance on is it Save the Last Dance that everybody makes fun of?
Yes, the one where she's auditioning for Juilliard in the chair and she has a stunt double, which is absolutely apparent.
It's so bad.
It's so sad.
So this will be her redemption story.
Will it be though, Mercedes?
Even
her hip hop moves, I'm like, girl, you need a little bit more groove up in there.
It was rough. But hopefully this is her redemption arc here. So finally this morning, would you try your dog's food? There's this new report that just came out. This is 23% of dog owners say they would try their dog's food without hesitation.
Whoa.
And 16% say they try it just out of curiosity. Now, only 25% said that they'd never touch it in a million years, but wow, a lot of people are willing to. Have you ever tasted your dog's food before?
I have never tasted Momo's food, but we dog-sitted for a Chihuahua last weekend, and they gave us these wet foods from Costco called pates, P-A-T-E, and they come in cans. Why are these flavors like beef Wellington, filet mignon, and warming it up in the microwave? Was like, not gonna lie, I would taste something like this.
It smelled good. Oh, man. Did you taste it?
No, I was close to, though. But because it's like not mine, but if it was Momo's, I would sip a little, you know, little
finger
in there.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so if I buy you some pates at Costco this weekend, will you eat them on the air on Monday?
Can you mix it with, like, rice or something?
No, you got to go plain, just like a dog would do. I want to see.
No, I forfeit.
It's Mix 94.1.
I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter.
This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.